believe that there is no better thing that you could be doing than to be in the house of God. There is nothing better for you to be doing than to be right here where you're at, worshiping God the Father. I want to remind you something before I get into the message, that Jesus is enough. We hear that, church? Jesus is enough. And we sang the song Jesus, and it says He's the Messiah, He's Savior, He's our rock, He's our Redeemer. There's power in His name. There's power in Jesus Christ's name. And that power, if you have it, if you have the Lord Jesus Christ, you also possess that power. Because our loving Father gives that to us. We're going to be in John chapter 3. I'm going to share something with you. A big, big secret. A secret to the Christian life. It's not about self. It's not about self. This could be a fairly hard message because it applies to all of us. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. There are too many believers this evening right now trying to get their best life now. It has nothing, the Christian life has nothing to do with possessions. It has nothing to do with material things. It has nothing to do with success in this world. It has nothing to do with it, but it has everything to do with Jesus Christ. Everything to do with Jesus Christ. It is only about Jesus. See, we can be very selfish people. That's hard to admit. We had a person just now admit that. It's hard for us not to be all about ourselves. It only can come from Jesus that we're not proud people. Only good things come from God. We can't do good without God. I hope we understand that this evening, that we can't do anything good without God. See, I pray that we understand this verse, John 14:6. Many of us know Jesus answers, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except through me. Do we know that this evening? Do we know that no man can get to the Father except through Jesus Christ? Because Jesus is enough. You don't have to add anything on Jesus. You don't have to add any stipulations. Jesus Himself is enough to save. He's enough to establish your steps. He's enough to give you the truth in your life. And He's enough to give you the new life, the abundant life. The last time that I was up here, we talked about the promises of God. New life, He gives that to us. Because He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. That is the Jesus we serve. That is our Jesus, the Messiah. That's Jesus who died upon the cross, who shed His blood, that you may have the remissions of sins. So you have forgiveness. So that you might have eternal life. It's hard not to be selfish. It is. It's hard not to get jealous. It's hard not to get envious. You want to covet things. You want this because this person has it. That person seems to have so much success. You ask God, why, God, do they have all the success? They're not good people. Can I remind you again? None of us are good. None of us are good. Only God is good. Verse 22. John the Baptist is going to tell his disciples something. After this, Jesus and His disciples went out in the Judean countryside where He spent some time with them and baptized. Now John also baptizing in Aon near Salem because there were plenty of water and people were coming and being baptized. Let me explain. There's two groups of disciples. You got John the Baptist's disciples. You got Jesus' disciples. Both are baptizing. Well, we can just about imagine what's going to happen. Arguments, jealousies, all the things that happen in today's world. We get jealous, all those things that happen. Let's see what happens. Verse 25. This was before John was put in prison. An argument developed between some of John's disciples and a certain Jew over a matter of ceremonial washing. They came to John and said to him, Rabbi, that man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified about, look, He is baptizing and everyone is going to Him. They're saying to John, everybody's going to Him. We don't have anybody anymore. Look at our numbers. Look at our numbers, John. We don't have anybody. And the person you talked about, the person you testified about, now he's got all the people. This doesn't seem good. It doesn't seem good, John, that we don't have anybody. It doesn't seem good. See, jealousy, when it creeps its way in, adds lots and lots of sins on top of it. lots and lots of sins. You get slander, you get gossip, you get all these sorts of sins. When jealousy creeps its way in, the devil's really good at putting jealousy in a group of people so that the kingdom of God cannot be advanced. Or we don't do what we're called to do. See, sin itself drives a wedge between us and God. It drives this big old wedge. And the only one that is able to remove this giant wedge in our life is Jesus Christ. He's the only one that has the ability. He's the only one that is enough to remove the wedge. Remove the wedge of selfishness. See, jealousy, it creeps its way in and it destroys our life. Did you hear me, church? It destroys our life. It will take it where you had a victorious life and now it seems like you just don't. We need to not be selfish. See, John's going to reply to this. Verse 27. To this John replied, "A person can receive only what is given them from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Messiah, but I am sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom awaits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine and it is now complete." What is John saying here? He said his mission, the thing that God called him to do, was to go before Jesus. And he says, the joy is mine. Why is the joy his? Because Jesus is here. Jesus is him, the one that he's been proclaiming, who's been speaking about. The Messiah is here. And he says, that joy is mine. See, John the Baptist understood what his calling was. Can I tell you that when you understand the calling that God places on your life, only joy can happen. It's only joy. The joy is yours when you understand what God wants you to do. And what God wanted John the Baptist to do was to go before the Messiah. Go before him. And God equipped John the Baptist to do that. Did you hear me? God equipped John the Baptist to do it. He equips us to do the same thing. When he calls us, he equips us. Did you hear me? He equips you. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be scared. You don't have to do any of that because God promised to equip you, to get you ready. He says, the Messiah is here. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. Did you hear me, church? Us. We belong to Jesus. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you now belong to your Savior. What a joy. What a beautiful peace to belong to the Savior, the one who died for you, the one who loved you so much. You belong to him. If you have Jesus Christ. See, John is going to say that we've heard it many, many times, but I pray that you dig down deep just a little bit more here in verse 30. It's a short phrase, but oh, what is so powerful. So powerful. He says, he must become greater, I must become less. Or some of your translations might say, he must increase and I must decrease. What a statement. You wouldn't hear many believers say that today. You wouldn't hear very many believers say that I must decrease as Jesus increases in my life. You just wouldn't hear it. See, there is no room for selfishness in the Christian walk. There is no room to be selfish. There is no room for anything else other than Jesus. He is the bridegroom. He's the groom. We're the bride. We belong to him. There's no room for anything else. See, in Matthew 10:38 says, whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. And before that, he talks about if a person doesn't hate their mother, their father, their son, their daughter, is not worthy of me. See, we don't quite understand what that means. He's saying, I must be the biggest priority in your life. Not politics, not anything of this world. Jesus must be the biggest priority in your life. He has to be. Did we hear that? He has to be. If you want a good life, if you want the life that God calls you to, you have to have Jesus Christ. There is no other way. He is above all. Verse 31, the one who comes from above, that's Jesus Christ, is above all. The one who's from earth belongs to the earth and speaks as one from the earth. The one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to that he has seen and heard, but no one accepts his testimony. Whoever has accepted it has certified that God is truthful. For the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God gives the Spirit without limit. The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. Listen to me, church. Jesus Christ holds everything in his hands. He has all authority on earth. He is above all. He's from heaven. He knows heavenly things. See, John the Baptist was saying, I'm not greater than Jesus. He's telling his disciples, I'm not greater than Jesus. It's the same thing that Paul utters to the Corinthians when he says, we don't preach ourselves, we preach Jesus Christ. Come on, church. We preach Jesus Christ. We don't preach agendas. We don't preach opinions. We preach Jesus Christ alone. There's nothing else. There's nothing even worthy to preach other than Jesus Christ. There is no greater joy that we get from God than that we could ever possibly get, because He is above all. When we allow God to be above in our life, when we allow Jesus to be the greatest thing in our life, listen to me, church. I've said it, that the Christian life is hard, but when you do this, it does become a little bit easier. When you allow Jesus to work in your life every day, which is a hard thing, life does become a little bit easier because you trust in not yourself, but Jesus Christ. You trust in the one who's able. You trust in the one who is able to establish your steps, lead and guide your life, save your life. You trust in that Savior and that Savior alone. See, it's dangerous. It's dangerous to put ourselves in charge. It is very, very dangerous to put yourself on the throne of God. Why is it so dangerous? Well, I'll say it like this, not to say it super mean. We're not very smart. We're not as smart as God. We mess up. We fall short of the glory of God. We can't get things right. Well, we can't see ahead. We don't hold the whole world in our hands. We're not the author and perfecter of our faith. We don't know any of that. Only Jesus knows that stuff. What John the Baptist is saying. Only Jesus knows the heavenly things. It is only Jesus who knows these things. See, it's very dangerous to be selfish. It's the opposite of the Christian life. It's the opposite to be independent for yourself. The Christian life's all about being dependent on our Lord Jesus, our Lord and Savior. It's all about dependency on God. It's all about trusting in God. It's all about surrendering your will under God, allowing His will to work in your life. See, why is making God greater or becoming less so important in your life? He knows better than we do. You might think that you know it all. I sometimes think that I know it all. But can I tell you that He knows better than we do? The Word of God speaks very clearly that He knows much, much more than us. He has all wisdom and understanding and knowledge. If you need any of those things, can I tell you, don't trust yourself. Trust the Word of God. Trust in our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is God who provides. Why is it so important to allow God to be great in your life? He's the one that provides. He's the one who knows what you need, and He's the one who gives it to us. He's the one that gives us the things we need. He's the one that provides us with joy and food and nourishment and all the spiritual things. He's only the one that can provide the spiritual things. And John the Baptist is saying that as well. He's the only one that can give it, and He knows what He's doing. From Genesis to Revelation, what we have, the Word of God here, can I tell you, He knows what He's doing. It's been so long ago, He's already dealt with all the anxiety you've ever felt. He's dealt with all the worries and the troubles and how am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? He's dealt with it all. He has dealt with it all. He knows what He's doing. We got to stop saying, God, I've got this. We've got to stop telling ourselves, we got it, God. Don't worry about it. We'll handle it. Because you can't do it. You can't handle it. You can't do it without Jesus Christ. You just can't do it. So how do we become less? How do we make ourselves less and Jesus Christ greater in our life? Number one, we gotta stop looking for self-will in our life. What can I get? What can I get? What can I get? It has nothing to do with that. You need to start asking God, what is your will in my life? You need to knock. You need to open. You need to search. You need to find. You need to do whatever you can to find what God has called you to do. It's so important for your Christian life. It is so important that you understand that God Himself has a purpose for you. You have to know that. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have to know that Jesus Himself, God the Father, has a purpose for you in the kingdom of heaven. He does. He's got a purpose for you, and you got to start looking for it. You got to start asking God what He wants you to do in your life. Day to day, small things, big things, you got to start asking God. Which means this, we have to understand 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, which says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We got to start praying. Can I tell you that Jesus is enough? We got to start asking the Father for big things, because He says He's able and able to do more than whatever we ask of Him. He's able to do that. We got to keep rejoicing. Listen to me. The world might get dark, dark, dark and gray, but I can tell you that our Jesus, our Savior, is the light of the world. We can trust in this light of the world, the same trust that John the Baptist is telling that his disciples, the one that are so worried about losing numbers, so worried about small numbers, he's telling them, He is the one I've testified about. He's the one. He's the one. It's not me. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. We've got to give thanks in all circumstances. Why would He say all circumstances? Because you're going to have good circumstances. You're going to have okay circumstances. You're going to have bad circumstances. I'm telling you, the life is a roller coaster. If you haven't already experienced it, your life here on earth is a roller coaster. And you got to learn to give thanks in all circumstances. Because that is what God wants you to do. That is what God's worthy of. Church, this is what God is worthy of. Our thanks, our praises, and our continually prayer. To pray in all circumstances. Through the good times, through the bad times. Listen, God just doesn't want you to talk to Him when good things happen or when just bad things. He wants you to talk to Him every single day because He loves us. Does that sit with us? He loves you. How do you know that? Because He sent His Son to die on the cross. That while we were still sinners. That doesn't make a lot of sense to us. This is why I think God's love is incommunicable. You're not fully going to be able to grasp it because we don't deserve it. But He did it. He did it, church. He loves you. He died for you so that you may have a seat at the table. A seat at the table. We've got to start speaking Jesus, church. That's the third thing. We've got to stop looking at ourselves. We've got to start praying more. And we've got to start speaking Jesus. In our day-to-day life, to strangers, to family members, to friends, Jesus has to be on our lips. It has to be. Acts 5:42 says, day after day in the temple courts, from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. Day after day, house to house, they didn't stop preaching Jesus. And why? To add a little bit of context, they went to jail, they were beaten, they were flogged. Peter and John, they were beaten and bruised, and the Jews there, they said, you got to stop preaching. You got to stop preaching Jesus. And they said, we just can't do that. Because who's better to obey, man or God? Man or God? See, I'm telling you right now, it's better for you to obey Jesus Christ. It is better for you to go house to house and never stop it. Never stop teaching. Never stop proclaiming that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Why is that so important? Because Jesus Christ is the only hope. The only hope that this world has, the only chance that this world has, is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only chance that we get it together, church. It only can come through Jesus Christ. See, number four, the last thing. There's still lots and lots of things, but it takes obedience. Obedience. That's hard. Obedience. 1 John 5:3 says, in fact, this is the love for God, to keep His commands. And His commands are not burdensome. To obey. To obey and obey and obey, because God doesn't want you to fail. God is your biggest fan. God is the one that's rooting you on. God's the one that's cheering for you on the sidelines, yelling as you run the race, to run it with endurance, to keep running, to keep running. Don't let the devil stop you. Don't let Satan stop you from running the race. And I tell you that he's going to try to stop you. But if you do these four things and you understand who Jesus Christ is in your life, you can prevail. You can make it. You can do it, church. You can do it. See, there are too many Christians relying on themselves. I hope that we've come to an understanding just for a moment that we can't do it. We just can't do it. See, when we allow Jesus to become greater in our life, see, this is where the problem is, church. When we allow Jesus to become greater and greater and greater, can I tell you, your life changes. Some people would say for the good, and some people would say for the bad. And the ones who say for the bad are the ones not trusting in the Savior. See, conviction comes, rebuking comes, repentance comes, correcting comes when you allow Jesus to be greater. Because He is holy. He is holy, and He wants your life to also be holy. You can't be holy without the one that is holy, and that's Jesus Christ. And John here, he's trying to get this point across. He's trying to get this point across to his disciples. He says, for the one, in verse 34, for the one whom God has sent speaks words of God, for God gives the Spirit without limit. See, at this, they didn't quite understand that, but we do now. We have the Holy Spirit without limit. If we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our life, you have the Spirit without limit. The same Spirit that Jesus Christ has here, without limit. Without limit, what does that mean for us? We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We can do it, church. We can do it. I want to get to this last verse. I haven't finished it yet. Because this is an important piece in this part of Scripture. Verse 36. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. Whoever believes in the Son, Jesus Christ, has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not have life, for God's wrath remains on them. Jesus is the only way to the Father. He's the only one that can get you into heaven. He's the only one that can make your life right. I pray that we can understand this. I pray that we let that verse speak loud this evening, that today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. Listen, this isn't a game, church. This is the Christian life isn't a game. It's not something to be played with. If you feel the conviction of the Lord to have a personal relationship with Him, you have to do it today. Because you're not promised tomorrow. And even here with John's disciples, this meant the same thing to him as them as it does to us. Whoever has the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not have eternal life. It's as simple as that, church. It's as simple as Jesus Christ. When we put ourselves on the throne, when we put ourselves in the position of God, when we think that we ourselves can save ourselves, you're gonna fall up short. You're gonna fall short. You're gonna fall short of the glory of God. That's what Scripture says. For all have sinned. For all have sinned. You, me, have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Can we testify to that this evening? That each and every one of us is a sinner. And each and every one of us need Jesus Christ. We have to have Jesus Christ. We have to have. So I could stand up here all evening and just keep saying Jesus because I love Him. Do we love Jesus this evening? Do we know that He's enough? Do we love the things that He gives to us? It's okay to love those things. It's okay to love that He gives us eternal life. It's okay to love that He gives us the Holy Spirit. It's okay that He loves us. Even when it brings conviction upon us. Even when we realize that we've messed up, we've fallen short, we didn't get it right, we did something stupid. Can I tell you, Jesus wants to still draw you to the Father? Jesus still wants you to draw to the Father. He wants you to get your life right. He wants you to get it right. And I think the problem today, church, is we've just kicked God out. Many churches, many pastors have kicked Jesus Christ to the side. Jesus, don't worry about getting our numbers up. We got a plan. We got a plan to get to 200. Don't worry, God, about getting our finances up. We'll get them up. We got fundraisers. We got all these things. We'll do it without you this time. Well, if we really need it, God, we'll ask you. But we got this. We got this. Listen to me, church. This church will never grow biblically if we don't preach Jesus Christ. If we don't allow Jesus Christ to work in this church, if we don't allow Jesus Christ to be greater than this church is nothing. It is nothing without Jesus Christ. The same goes for the ministries. If we don't allow Jesus to be great in the ministries, they mean nothing. They mean nothing without Jesus. Why? Because apart from the Lord, we have no good thing. We can do lots and lots of good things in this world, but if you do it apart from the Lord, you've done it without Him. You've done it without Him. The famous verse, it's right before this. Jesus had just got done talking with Nicodemus. He's a Pharisee. You think that he would understand some of this stuff, but here at the end, here in chapter 3, verse 16, we all know it. But for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. That is our hope. That is our assurance. That is what we rely on. That is how we know that Jesus Christ is enough. This is why we can say, Jesus, take control of the church. Jesus, take control of the ministries. Jesus, take control of my life. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 states that we ought to be living sacrifices. Living sacrifices. That is not easy to do. That is not easy to be a living sacrifice for Jesus. It's not easy, but I'm telling you, if you want to have joy in your life, if you want to have peace in your life, if you want to have faith and hope and all those good things that Jesus Christ Himself gives, you have to understand that verse. You have to utter the same words that John here utters, and he says, He must become greater, I must become less. We gotta keep becoming less, church. You're not gonna hear that in very many churches this evening. You're not gonna hear that in very many churches anymore. It's all about prosperity. It's all about the social things, the compassion and the love. Those things God gives us. Men can't do it. Men can't give you the love and the peace and the hope and the joy and all those things that will sustain you through this life. It's only Jesus Christ that can do that. It is only, and he says here also, he testifies what he has seen and heard, but no one accepts his testimony. Don't we see that today, church? No one accepts his testimony. His testimony of who he is, and that's the Son of God. We have no doubt, church. We have no doubt that Jesus is the one and only Son of God. And He is the one and only Savior of the world. He's the one and only one that died upon the cross, shed His blood, that you have eternal life. Don't you trust in anything else. Don't you trust in yourself. Don't you trust in mom or dad or friend or any other family member. You trust in Jesus Christ alone. Hear me, church. I've tried it. I've tried to do it on my own. I fell up short. I fell right down on my face. Every time I try to do it without Him, I fall straight down on my face. Only Jesus. Listen, He is enough. If you need something in your life, listen, Jesus will provide. Christ will provide for you. If you stop looking for yourself, you start looking for God's will in your life, you start rejoicing always, you start praying continually, you start to give thanks in all circumstances, if you start to be obedient, and listen to me, church, if you start sharing the gospel. I don't know about you, but if you've ever shared the gospel, and you've been nervous or scared, you know, the things that can sometimes come, when that person receives Jesus Christ, isn't there a celebration in your spirit? If you've ever shared the gospel, if you've ever shared the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and that person comes to the saving knowledge of Christ, there is an overwhelming joy in your spirit. An overwhelming joy when Jesus leaves the lips of your mouth. Why? Because Jesus, the name of Jesus is powerful. It is so powerful, it has the power to save lives. Jesus' name has the power to save lives, it has the power to heal, it has the power to cast out demons, it has all authority under heaven. That is what Christ's name has. It has all authority. It is above all. It is above all. I'm going to read it one more time because I hope that we understand, and I hope that if you're in here this evening and you don't have a relationship with Christ, you get it right today. You're going to have that opportunity to come down here and ask Jesus into your life for the first time. And I'll tell you, there is no greater joy or peace than to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Verse 36 says, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them." The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in His hands. In His hands, everything has been placed. See, when we decrease, Jesus fills us up. When we're decreasing, Jesus is the one who fills us up. He's the one that overflows our cup. He's the one that's able to do that. He's the only one that gives us power and boldness. The only one that gives us strength and courage to face this enduring world. He's the only one that gives us the power to endure. He's the only one that gives you the strength to run the race with endurance and finish well, church. Don't we want to finish well? Don't we want this church to finish well? And what does it look like for a church to finish well? To be all about Jesus. To utter the same things, like I said, Paul said. We don't preach ourselves. We preach Jesus Christ. Let's stand. You have heard the truth. You have heard God's word this evening. And I know in my spirit, there are people here that need to let go.